Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop. We also welcome to the programme, Jan Åge Fjørtoft is with us, and it's with Jan that we start. Jan, I don't know if you've heard of this Norwegian striker, Erling Haaland. Apparently he's quite good and in demand. A lot of speculation about his future at the moment. Let's just get it straight. What does your gut tell you? He's going to be at Dortmund for the start of this season, then go next year? Is that it? Simple? We never have to talk about him again?
That is the gut feeling, and we said it all along. This summer, it's Dortmund who will decide where he want to play. Next season with the clause, it's Team Haaland, including Erling, including his father, including Raiola, who decides that. But we said it all along that Chelsea have him as their main target, and they would like to test Dortmund with a fantasy offer. And the fantasy offer will be around 150 million euro. That is double, more likely double what he can get get next summer for him. So it's interesting to follow, but most likely, and your safe money will have him stay. And Dortmund say that all the time, he will stay, he will stay. They said that about Sancho 1 year ago, and he stayed. So it's most likely that he will be also Dortmund player coming this season. But we still wait for that big, big offer from Chelsea Football Club.
You talk about this fantasy offer, Jan. 150, if you're Abramovich and they want 175, you'll just give it to them, won't you? Because you've got the money in the bank. Obviously, we know this summer financial fair play is lax, to say the least. Then why don't they just do it now?
Yeah, they could do that, and I think that we can all agree the likelihood, if it's happened, we don't know, with the players they're having, they are missing this number 9, and I'm sure if Erling Haaland came to Chelsea, he would score 30 goals, 100%, because they create so many chances, but they don't have the natural number 9, the natural goal scorer. But I think a lot of people are a bit careful in this market, and the reason we are talking about Chelsea and Manchester City now, with Kane, with Erling Haaland, is maybe they are the only clubs who can get that kind of money between 150, 175, whatever. But let's see what's happening. I don't think that is the last time we'll talk about him, Dan, although I've lost my middle name, Jaden, now after he went to Manchester United.
Tomorrow, I believe we'll be talking about it again.
But if you're Chelsea, you need a striker.
Well, yes.
That's blatantly obvious.
They need a striker like Jan needs a new top. I thought that's how we were going to start.
Cost a bit more, though.
I thought that's how we were going to start the show, Jan, because that's an absolute belter. And they tell us that Norwegians know how to dress.
Who says that?
What we do know about Craig Burley when he says a bad top, you know he's a good top. That is what I've learned after 1 year.
Listen, mate.
Stevie Nicol wouldn't wear that.
Trust me. It was not.
No, listen. I think Tuchel's banging on the ownership or or his number two and the hierarchy and saying, you know, yes, we had success last year.
This record is telling, isn't it? Obviously, Giroud was gone.
Yeah.
Who's getting your goals?
I think what he's doing is banging and saying, look, we had the Champions League final and we had some good results and we could have possibly had an FA Cup. But if we want to go 38 games and compete in all these competitions, and we want to be the top dogs in England again, then Man City and Liverpool have set the standard and we're going to have to go and really push the boat out here if we want to overhaul. If we all think Man City are the favourites, and that's kind of the way it looks still, then this is what we need to do. And look, we had an ownership and an owner who, it looked like a couple of years ago, 18 months ago, was losing a bit of the desire. I'm fed up putting that money in and I'm not allowed in the country and blah, blah, blah. And then he went and he gave Lampard a pile of new signings and, you know, Tuchel's come in, he trusts them, they trust him, he's delivered excellently in his very short period. He's shown what a good manager he is. And that was the big question. Off the back of the success he'd had at certain places was coming in here, what could he do? Answered that. Now go and give me that money to get me the hottest property in world football.
Yeah.
If he does, they are absolutely up there with, I think, Man City as the favourites.
Yeah,
that's how much a difference this guy would make.
Yeah, as Jan says, 30 goals a season.
Oh, God.
And that's not exaggerating.
No, it's not.
So if you're Chelsea, just do it, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but that's if you're Chelsea. As Jan rightly points out, this is down to Dortmund. And it's not the first time they've kind of
held out just to make their mark and let everybody know who's in charge. Remember, they let Lewandowski go on a free as opposed to sell him on the cheap with a year left on his contract not so long ago. So that's how Dortmund do their business. You understand, and you have to respect that. If you're Chelsea, absolutely yes. You keep pushing just a little bit more, a little bit more, and continue to test Dortmund's resolve. Because if Erling Haaland delivers 30 goals a season, and you think he will, I see Chelsea being up alongside, really competing for the Premier League title.
Right.
On the other side of that same coin, you wait 12 months and he's available for 75 million. I'm not so sure that Chelsea are top of the list in terms of where Erling Haaland goes. And as a result, you know, well, you need a striker this right now to give you goals. How much is that going to cost you? Who is that? Because there aren't that many, sitting in anywhere near that class, available.
Let me put it another way. Just briefly, we're going to talk about certain players on this show that might be going places. We've talked about Harry Kane before. We've talked about Lewandowski. Great players, right? Get your goals. Cost a lot of money. Coming up towards 30, and Lewandowski's already, I think, 32. Whatever any club pays for this guy is a great deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if he doesn't get, hopefully, touch wood, he stays clear of injury and he continues on this same path, you're spending 150 to 200 million, if that's what it is, on years of goals. Mm-hmm. Not a season or two.
Yeah.
On years of goals. Maybe even 10 years, potentially, for your club, if he stays, and if he stays fit. I don't think there's... If it was 200 million, Jan, I would say, if I had the money, I would go and do it, because I'm buying 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 seasons of who knows how many goals.
But I think it's interesting to boys to have a look at what's happening after the pandemic, because Bayern Munich said now that we have losses of 150 million euro. I mean, this is bad times, and Dortmund with an average of 81,000 every game. You can only imagine how much money they've lost. And then they got some of the money back now by selling Jadon Sancho. So I still think there is a chance that this could happen. And if you see it from the point of view of Chelsea, the management of Chelsea, because it's not like you can always just give a call to Abramovich and say, we need that money, we need this player. If you have a look at them, with Tammy Abraham, Hudson-Odoi, Ziyech, or whatever, they will probably get, should we say they will get half of a Haaland in transfer fee from other clubs? Some desperate clubs know at the end of a transfer period. So they have players to sell as well. So I think this could be a good business case for them. And then we haven't even started how much they're earning to be a Premier League contender and maybe win the Premier League. So I think this is a perfect striker for them. Just the last thing is that we haven't talked about Team Haaland. Does Erling Haaland wants to go to Chelsea? Mel, if you see there is someone who is up for it so much that they're going to break the bank to get him, I think that this will be a very, very good deal for everybody involved.
Well, we talked about this the other day. I mean, some clubs are driven by certain budget structures, and the pandemic affected them differently to others. Chelsea are not, I don't believe. Chelsea are not a club like most clubs. They're not driven by a certain financial structure. The financial structure is effectively the owner. You know, during this pandemic, whether we like it or not, there was a lot of really, really smart business people who made a lot of money. As markets were crashing and different things were crashing, people made a lot of money off things like that. So how do we know some of these guys didn't double or treble their wealth? And can then just say, you know, okay, I'll put another couple of hundred million in, because, you know, a lot of people suffered, obviously, in this 12 to 18 months, but there's a lot of, as I say, very astute business people pounced on the troubles that other businesses had, made a lot of money. Chelsea are not a business that makes money. You need to look at their books. When they don't make money, their owner puts more money in. And so I don't think the pandemic is going to drive what Chelsea are willing to pay. Chelsea are going to be willing to pay what the owner is willing to give them. It's as simple as that.
Jan, you mentioned Bayern Munich and their financial struggles. Kingsley Coman not happy with the offer that he's had, and he could be heading to Chelsea.
Well, at the moment, it looks like everybody are linked to Chelsea, because they have, like Craig saying, they don't have to follow the numbers that they do differently. The problem at Bayern Munich now, Dan, is that they have a problem with the wage structure, because the players changing agents, and you have two players like Joshua Kimmich and Goretzka, whose contracts are up in 1 or 2 years, so they need to be extended, and they want to double their money because they know about this. Koeman as well, he knows what Lewandowski is on, he knows what Manuel Neuer is on, and that is a problem when you have that kind of structure in the club. I saw some reports today about Koeman and Hudson-Odoi swapping around. I think that we are overstating how good Hudson-Odoi is. I mean, he would get, I don't think he would get a lot of games playing for Bayern Munich at time being, but Bayern Munich have said all along that we won't pay a lot of money, we won't extend the contract. They said to Alaba, no, you're not getting that money, you are going to Real Madrid. He's at Real Madrid now, and now they have the same problem because Alaba is earning a lot of money there. And my last point on that, Dan, is that Julian Nagelsmann started his first game now for Bayern in a friendly. They're losing against Cologne, and more players injured before the national players come in. There will be some pressure on Bayern to produce some money to give this young Mozart of football some good players.
Who dresses worse, you or Nagelsmann? Yeah.
Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news. You can go over to the website and check it out.
Shit.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Take a look at how the bookies have things set ahead of the start of the new season. City, Chelsea, Liverpool, and then Manchester United. 8-1. United, of course, been busy over the summer. Jadon Sancho making that move to Old Trafford as well. Rafael Varane on the brink as well of making
look at
that
those
switch.
ESPN FC United haters. Right, that's what they'll say.
I can't even finish. Can't even finish the intro without you interrupting. My question to you, Craig, was
got them down in fourth because that wasn't us.
No, that is the bookies,
it's the bookies
in the UK.
Not us.
That's not Craig. If you were to compile the odds, would you have them fourth?
Yes, at the moment.
Right.
The Varane deal's not over the line.
No.
As good as that may be, I still think a problem area for them is right back.
Really?
I think Wan-Bissaka's that young guy's done well, defensively in particular, but I think they've not had enough from that position going forward. And that's, I know people don't like to talk about fullbacks because it's not the fancy thing to do. We talk about strikers and midfielders. But they went out and spent a lot of money on him, and I think it's becoming a bit of a problem area for them.
I thought you were going to say Solskjaer would be their problem.
I was getting to that.
There you go.
We don't know what we don't know what Liverpool are going to do, right? But we do know the players coming back to fitness are almost like new signings. We know Chelsea are going to be strong, and obviously City. So they're there. I think it's about right for them at the moment until they prove everybody, myself included, differently.
Jan, Craig is saying it doesn't matter who Manchester United bring in, that with Solskjaer in charge, they're
that.
Not going to win the league.
I did not say that.
But I have to defend Craig. He didn't say that.
No.
But he didn't. But I think that Manchester United, there needs some areas to improve. And maybe a fourth position at the moment is right. I think with Jadon Sancho, you get a player that excites people, that can take people on. I think that was needed. They need a defender. They need a central defender in Varane. I think that would be a perfect signing for them. then Ole Gunnar could play also more offensively. He didn't have to use McTominay and Fred to hide at Lindelöf, and sometimes Maguire as well hasn't been so good together. And maybe a Trippier, the last thing from there is that he got a 40 million euro clause, and apparently Manchester United have made an offer was very below 40. I mean, one like one-fifth of 40. So it was a terrible offer. But they would probably... Yeah, but it will come back to him. I also would say that Manchester United need a striker. I mean, I'm a great admirer of Cavani. And if you've seen him, Rashford will be out for a couple of 3 months. But you need a number nine. You need another striker next to a Cavani. If we talked about it before, you need goals. Looking in Germany, RB Leipzig after they lost Werner, they don't have goals. No, they got Andreas Silva from Frankfurt. This is the thing you need to be up there. And Manchester United show last year, they have the other thing sorted a bit out, but they need goals. I mean, Jadon Sancho, they have a guy who will provide you some goals, but also a load of assists. And then you need someone who will get him over the ball over the line.
You also need Bruno Fernandes to find his mojo again.
Yeah, listen, I think Manchester United should be above Liverpool in that order, in the order finishing in top four of the Premier League. I just feel that there are more questions about Liverpool. And I understand, yes, Liverpool still have that squad that won them the title a couple of seasons ago. I think the big question mark is around Van Dijk. Serious injury, how good will he be when he returns? That's the bigger question mark for me. Other than that, regardless of whether Chelsea comes good with the signings that we've been speculating about, or Manchester United get some of those over the line, whether they do or don't, I still see it as City, Chelsea. I still think United third. Liverpool is the one that just far more questions about them than the others.
But it's hard to make the odds now if we don't know all the players they got.
We've got to do a show. What are we going to do?
Yeah, and we do that every year.
Chelsea. No. But I'm just saying that when we do the serious analysis of it, imagine
when
Chelsea will take Haaland.
What show are you talking about?
I look at that midfield as well, and I think you mentioned it, right, Fernandes. You know, I think he was believing his own hype at the end of the season. He was getting annoyed with people that, dare I say, attempted to make a challenge on him. He was thinking, like, well, you're trying to tackle me, moaning at referees. Well, you're a marked man because you have done well. We know Pogba's a supreme talent. We have to trust him over a season at Man United, and that's what they'll be saying. And he absolutely can do it. McTominay's an interesting one. I think McTominay's a really, really good young player. Has done well for club and country, but would he walk into any of the other teams that they're going to be battling with? And I think the answer is no. And I think they need a bit more presence in that position. I agree with Jan on the striker front. It's a lot to ask for somebody with that many injuries and at that age in Cavani. But he could possibly do it. But I think there's no guarantee, like bringing in a Kane or one of these big guys. But here's the deal. And here's the more pressure that goes on the manager every time they sign somebody. Is that fourth position, like second position, is just not good enough.
Right.
And the more Sancho's they bring in, the more Varane's they bring in, the more pressure to say, and to stop saying, well, the Glazers, well, Ed Woodward, who is left or leaving, well, him. And the more they bring these players in, the more the focus will go on to the manager. And the fact that if they finish runner-up or third or whatever again to City or Liverpool or whoever, it's going to be deemed as a failure, and there's no other way to paint it the more people that you bring in.
But it depends who will defend it as a failure, Craig. I mean, what they do now, I think that is... Yeah, of course. But that's
well, for Man
enough.
United, but Jan, second place... Yeah. If you sign Varane and Sancho and one or two others, second place is a failure. No?
So here is the conclusion of what I tried to say, is that if they sign Varane and Sancho, of course there will be more pressure. But I think that what we've seen so far from Manchester United is that the owners and the Glazers, they have answered their fans. They are spending money now. And so far, if they get Varane, should they get Trippier? Should they get another striker? They have had a fantastic transfer window. Will there be more pressure on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Of course there will be more pressure on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That is a part of the business. You are talking like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't understand that. He understands as he plays with Sir Alex Ferguson. He got titles three or four every year season.
At what point have I said Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't understand? I know that man understands the game. We all played the game. I'm merely stating a simple fact here, Jan, that for a club of this size, with this spending power, once they bring these extra players in, there is no rock to climb under and hide. If Man City whop your backside again, or Liverpool...
Who is hiding?
Well, no, but you're saying to me that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer understands it.
Who is hiding? Chelsea. Chelsea could be fourth. That, they have spent a lot of money.
Well, yeah, but they've just come off the back of winning the Champions League.
Liverpool have spent a ton of money, and so on and so on.
Thomas Tuchel has just had success winning the Champions League. Liverpool have won the Champions League and the domestic trophy in England recently. They've got some rope left dangling. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer Absolutely. Doesn't have much, in my opinion, if they bring
these
players.
But who are you arguing with? You're arguing with yourself. Everybody
no, you said you couldn't call second a failure. No. And you need to tell me why.
Because Manchester United haven't done that for years. And if Manchester United go into this season... And with signing these players, of course they'll be the title contender. My point is just that Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, they are more or less on the same level. And the simple math, only one of them can win the league. Of course, it's going to be a failure. It was a failure for Klopp last season that he just barely got into the Champions League. That is the name of the game. And you are presenting it like these managers don't understand. Of course they do.
What are you talking about, man? How am I saying managers don't understand? I'm saying... Chelsea had success last year because they went out and guess what they did? They got themselves a proper manager. And what I'm saying is there is going to be no hiding place this year. They've had success. Champions League recently. Liverpool, Premier League recently and Champions League.
The Europa... Who has looked for a hiding place? Who has looked for a hiding
well,
place?
Nobody. I'm just
you.
Saying there's going to be no place left to hide for those people that say it's not Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's the Glazers and it's everybody else. If they bring these players in, the focus goes way onto the manager. That's what I'm saying.
But Craig, that doesn't make you Albert Einstein. Everybody understands that.
Well, you just said
Varane,
it wouldn't be failure to finish second.
Varane, Trippier, Sancho and a proper striker. Of course Manchester United have to go for the title and it could be a failure if they don't. I agree with
you. You're contradicting yourself.
No. You are building just up your Manchester United thing for the season. Because...
The season is not even started. I've got him going already. Look at him.
He's
going to be throwing darts at my picture tonight again.
Yeah, join the club. Just a reminder, extra time.
I bet he phoned Solskjaer and said... That Burnley's a nasty game. See what he's saying about you in
Hello.
America.
Hello. Yeah, hate
Hello.
Manchester United. Just a reminder, extra time, as always, available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
A 1-0 victory over Canada means the US men remain perfect in the Gold Cup. They will finish top of the group. Of course, in theory, that maybe would set up a final against Mexico if things go as expected. For a lot more on what we've seen from the US so far, here's Seven Herc.
Thank you very much, Dania Herc. Lots to get to in our show today. Let's start with the Gold Cup. The US perfect through the group phase after they beat Canada on Sunday 1-0. Perfect in terms of results. However, the performance may have left a little bit to be desired. However, things got off to a great start. They score, 20 seconds into this game? The goal from Shaq Moore, the fastest ever in U.S. men's national team history. What'd you think of the game against Canada?
The goal, just how they drew it up, right? Kellen Acosta and Gianluca Busio almost run into each other. The ball finds its way to Sebastian Legette across the face of goal. And yes, it's the right back, the outside back in the box to put it away. But that was as good as it got, if I'm being honest. This was an abysmal performance by the U.S. men's national team against a Canada team without a lot of its stars. And what's worst, they lost a key player in the back line in Walker Zimmerman in what probably could have been a penalty call against the U.S. men's national team. Now that center back depth is really tested, Donovan Pines has to come in You could see the deficiencies in his passing game, maybe the nerves on the night as well. A little unfair to him, only his second cap ever for the U.S. men's national team, but very much an inexperienced squad that I shouldn't be too critical of, because it's the C team in this Gold Cup, and because they won three games, they outscored their opponents. It's 8 goals scored, 1 against. A perfect score, like you said, 3 for 3, 9 points, on to the next. But if they play like they did versus Haiti, if they play like they did versus Canada, there is no advancing to the next round. The Mexicos of the world, the Jamaicas, the Costa Ricas, the Honduras, and more so El Salvador, with what they showed against Mexico, they will take care of you. They will have something to say if they play against the U.S. men's national team, if they play this way.
Yep, no Alphonso Davies in this game for Canada. No Jonathan David in this match for Canada as well. The one concern for me might be, I feel like the U.S. performance is getting progressively worse in this tournament, not getting better game to game. Speaking of things getting progressively worse, holy mackerel, the situation with Atlanta United. We talked about it on Thursday's show, thought this might boil on for a couple weeks. Nope. Gabriel Heinze is out at Atlanta United amid a controversy with Joseph Martinez. Remember last week, Joseph Martinez training on the side wasn't a fitness issue. And now we hear reports that MLS Players Association had to get involved with training issues under Gabriel Heinze. Just 7 months in charge for the Argentine Manchester United legend. This the right move for Atlanta United, Herc?
It's the only move. Listen, winless in their last 8, that's fine. But this goes back to what happened when you pull back the curtain. It's Gabriel Heinze, and we understand he's a fiery figure. We understand that he comes from the outside. He's not familiar with Major League Soccer or its rules, or that they even have a Players Association or a CBA that has certain mandated dates they can train and they can't train. The water breaks what he was restricting. It was one after the other, and yes, Joseph Martinez. You ostracize the biggest figure in this club's short history. The most important persona in this club's history, you ostracized them. You pulled them out, and that was the beginning of the end for Gabriel Heinze.
So if Joseph Martinez won that battle, I guess we could say the same thing for Jozy Altidore with Toronto FC. Chris Armas out. Jozy is back, not just on the team, but on the score sheet as well. Interesting, huh, Herc?
What do you do if you're Chris Armas right now? Your first game away, they scored 3 goals against New England, who was leading the East. In the first 30 minutes of the game, they ended up winning that game. Jozy Altidore, on his return, scores the goal to pull them ahead versus Orlando, a very good team. If you're Chris Armas, you must be thinking, wow, was I really that bad? Was I the reason that Toronto FC wasn't doing well? And if you're Jozy Altidore, it's almost like a, I told you so.
Second place in the East last season. Let's see if they can climb their way back to the mountaintop there, Toronto FC, with Jozy Altidore back in the lineup. All right, that's it for us. For Herc, I'm Seb. Dan, back to you.
Thank you very much, boys. A lot more from Seb and Herc. They have so much to discuss on the latest edition of Football Americas, which is available now here on Plus. MLS continues. We've got one game for you tomorrow. Vancouver Whitecaps taking on Houston Dynamo. Then no less than 8 matches on Wednesday, all available on ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Craig, you've been away the last couple of days, so I just thought we would get your opinion on what is being trialled at the moment in the future of Football Cup in the Netherlands. These, of course, some of the rule changes.
30-minute halves, the game clock stops and the ball goes out of play, unlimited substitutions, yep, throw-ins played with the feet, 5-minute suspensions for yellow cards, free kicks can be dribbled immediately. Now, we've been linking this to FIFA. FIFA have distanced themselves from this. Oh, it's a long statement. Basically, they've distanced themselves. You don't need
go
to read
it. Go on.
You don't
go
need
on.
Me to read all of that.
Erroneous reports circulating in the media.
Just your thoughts, Craig, on those changes? Any that you like?
No. Unsurprisingly.
None at all? None you thought? That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, I looked at it actually. And I was like, oh, I wonder why he was sending me through to the producer for this.
Right.
I had a little look at it and I went,
yeah.
I mean, seriously, you know, we've just had a Euros that was pretty, for the most part, pretty exciting. We'll see what happens in the World Cup, but, you know, we had some really good games last year through the pandemic. What the hell was the need to go changing everything 30 minutes? You know, halves, game clock stops, unlimited substitutions. Commentators absolutely hate that anyway. Oh, it's just a revolving
the game's
door.
Not about context.
No, but it's just
a,
people just don't want to see a revolving door of people coming in and out all the time, like a game of basketball. You know, 5 minutes for missed time and a challenge, nobody will make a challenge. You know what I mean? What the hell is all about?
Right.
And then free kicks, you can just dribble. Oh, Jesus God. Honestly.
So that's negative towards
No, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, there's some tweaks that we need to have in the game that were actually half decent for the most part in the Euros, which was like the arm ball and,
yes,
you know, making it a bit clearer for people and the offside's an issue. These are real issues that are frustrating, I think are frustrating pundits and fans and players. Not this garbage.
Right.
There's other things that are much more frustrating and need looked at. Not this dross. I was looking for a different word.
Yeah.
It wasn't a swear word.
Well, I don't think
and I feel dross
there.
Was...
Yeah, no.
It's about good. Yeah, that's good.
There you go. Jan, you like all of these?
No, I don't. I don't know, like all of them. I'm not surprisingly not so negative as Craig, because I think that
why is it with you playing this Mr. Nice Guy?
Can I conclude, Mr. Negative? What I see sometimes with for example that you have a kick in instead of a throw in. Sometimes we want to do everything to get more goals, get more flow in the game. The problem is when you do things like that, people will put them extra defenders. You would do that as a free kick that takes too much time. Some years ago, they were saying, let's make the goals bigger. Then the teams would put in an extra defender and so on like that. Maybe if I try to be positive about the two last ones, if I understand the intention of them, that some yellow cards, you can take someone off. That has been done in every... I don't think you will miss having tackles because of that, Craig. And then I like the way that you can start the free kick straight away. You don't have to spend so much time, take people away. If the team wants to start straight away, you can do it. But in general, I think that you have to make sure that handball and all those kind of thing, penalties sometimes, you have a look on them and do them better instead of always inventing new things. But the two last one, I could be a bit positive too.
Right.
Who makes the most tackles in the game in general? Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
The art of defending was becoming a dying breed. And I think we saw it come back somewhat recently. We saw Italy defending fantastically. We talked about Chiellini and Bonucci.
Yeah, yeah.
So why would you punish people that are going to have to make tackles? And the other thing with the quick free kick is, or you can take quick free kicks now.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't go dribbling with the ball, which that nonsense said. You can still take a quick free kick, you put it down, you play it.
Yeah, but you have to play it to someone.
Well, yeah.
Why are you sucking your glasses as if you're some sort of professor?
Well, it's
pontificating about the future of...
It's what
it doesn't help, Craig. It doesn't help. It doesn't help.
It's got Jan's name written on it, and I'm writing away. It says Mr. Positive.
Shaka,
he doesn't believe any of these. Fyotov.
You're
on a last name.
No, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's found two in there to make sound somewhat feasible to make me look bad. Because he knew I was going to say...
I don't think he needs to say anything to make you look bad.
Craig, I remember back in the days, you were against the net on goals. You were probably against the back pass as well. I mean, you have to see... Yeah, of course you were. Oh. And to be fair, I don't have to be positive to make you look negative.
Listen to Mr. Get With It. You can't be telling people you're getting with the young ones when you're coming on dressed like that. It's not going to work.
Shaka, we heard your thoughts on Saturday. Have they developed somewhat
What
since?
Were your thoughts on Saturday? I missed that show.
My thoughts
It's on VSPN Plus. I'll go back and watch it.
Yeah, please do. But in a nutshell, as much as I've spoken out again in the past about the stopping the clocks, referees, and we recently had Matt Clattenburg say as much that he thinks it's a good idea, so I succumbed to his opinion on that. The others, for me, I don't think need to be introduced. While I understand that they trial them, I don't think they will see the light of day. I will say, though, that youth coaches have found success with the suspension, the sin bin type.
The 5-minute job.
Yes, they just feel it works better in terms of coaching and developing players.
Right.
So that maybe stays with youth tournaments. Again, that's up to youth tournaments and their coaches. But I don't think it's easy light of day.
So that's poor coaching.
At senior level.
That's poor coaching.
I'm not a youth coach, I'm just saying youth coaches have said that they have found success with that.
Sending a kid off for 5 minutes has improved his defending, it's improved my coaching. It's made it easier for you.
I just find myself agreeing with Jan more and more.
Listen, I'm used to everybody being against me.
I kind of like you.
What a load of nonsense. It's improved my coaching.
I'm just telling you what's...
I'll tell you what's going to happen. I told you what would happen. Players will be more reticent to make a challenge because they're going to lose them for 5 minutes. What do you know? You're a striker. Holy smokes. You thought today was going to be boring.
Well, oh, what a good show I've done. Well done.
I didn't say me. I said us three. Not you. You've just sat there.
Just a reminder, we will be back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us. Oh, God. Oh, what a great show I've done. See if we can repeat that tomorrow.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Not long now, then, until La Liga kicks off on ESPN. It all starts August 13th. Valencia taking on Getafe. Then on the Saturday, Real Madrid in action away against Alaves. And on Sunday, it's Barca against Real Sociedad at the Camp Nou. Just a reminder, every single La Liga match will be live on ESPN+. It's our second season in the Bundesliga? I think so. That all starts as well on August the 13th. Borussia Mönchengladbach taking on defending champions Bayern Munich. And then on the Saturday, Borussia Dortmund in action against Eintracht Frankfurt. And on Sunday, Leipzig away against Mainz. All those games also available on ESPN+. Hey, that's it. That brings us to the end of today. You all right?
Yep.
That's a weird noise.
Well, I didn't think we're coming back on camera.
Oh, why? I've got to say goodbye. That's it. Well,
can't you just say it over a graphic?
No, because they want to see our faces.
I'm not sure that's correct.
Well, yeah, that may be an issue.
We just got on with it. You're annoying me now.
We've started it.
Tomorrow.
You aren't. However, Extra Time is next. It is a marathon edition where, surprise, surprise, Craig mentioned scoring in the World Cup.
Too long.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Strangely enough, this is the first thing we're recording today. Normally, it's the last. Shaq is here. What do you mean?
Don't tell them to record it. They think it's live.
Really? What about the stuff we have to edit out that Stevie says that isn't appropriate?
Well, that is sometimes.
Jan is with us as well. This is from Tipsy Batman, who I think is more than tipsy. Craig, is it hard staying humble when you're always right?
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, my
God.
Not always right. Burner account.
I'm not always right.
But I'm never wrong.
99.99999.
I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong.
No, but the secret is, even if you think you're wrong, make sure you've got an argument.
Front foot.
Best just never form admitted. Of defense
yeah, it's
is attack.
Attack.
Change the subject.
Yeah, off you go.
Do you know how many years it takes to...
37 years of television, open talk back and all, Shaq.
Yep.
So he's learned his trade.
Learned my trade.
Shaq,
what's it going to be worth?
Shaq, what would you do? What would you do if you were in Kepa's shoes? Obviously, he won't be playing that many games.
Try to move, but easier said than done. Kepa is on a huge contract.
Yeah.
Chelsea are going to want a lot of money for him.
And great backup.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You can just keep him happy.
Yeah, when he's come in last season, he did well. Doing a whole lot better than you've seen him, to be honest. But who takes that chance on that kind of money?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Will there be any tension, Craig, between the likes of Jorginho and Mount at Chelsea, or Di Maria and Neymar at PSG after these players defeated each other in the Euro and Copa America final?
No, that's not the way it works.
No.
Unless there's a beef between those players anyway, that's not how it works.
There'd be some banter, though, wouldn't there, you imagine?
Yeah, that's where it'll be. I mean, we've played against guys at international and club level, and, you know, one of my best mates in Scotland, I kicked him all over the park
when
I played against him. Billy Dodge, and he always said to me, why do you keep doing that? And I said, why not? I mean, you're kind of not mates when you're on the field, but
right.
No, there's no problems whatsoever.
Internationally, Jan, did you come up against club teammates?
Absolutely, and like Craig said, it is a part of the dressing room banter. You want to kick them. I heard a good story today about Zlatan, where he was told by Raiola when he was at Ajax to try to make noise when he played Holland. So he ran around the pitch kicking down every Ajax player for Holland. So that is done. but normally, if you come back in the dressing room, you have a banter. You want to play them. You want to beat them. When we didn't qualify for the European Championship in 1996 with Norway, I came back to the borough dressing room. There was a Norwegian shirt on a doll hanging in my roof. So there are banters in a football dressing room.
Yeah.
Here's one for you.
I was going to ask what kind of doll, but I don't think we need that.
Here's one for you. here's one for you from the Euros in the summer that I held. When Scotland played England, sit up, Burley. When Scotland played England.
38 years.
What?
Need a coach for that. Where is he? There was a guy, Robinson, who played right back. Stephen Robinson, but played right back for Scotland, right? Had a great game. He's an unsung player, plays for Motherwell, I believe. Had a fantastic game at Wembley.
Right.
But when Jack Grealish came on, he really played well against Grealish. And the story came out, he told it to the Scottish media, that Jack McGinn, Grealish's Villa teammate, had said, listen, if he comes on and plays, just keep telling him how good looking he is and how well dressed and how nice his hair is. I'm not serious.
Really?
So he said,
I love it.
So he said, when Grealish came on off the bench and went over to that left side, he said he was going up behind him and he's going, your hair's lovely. He said, your hair's lovely, it's not a strand out of place. Oh, your socks, look at your shin pads, look at your tan. Oh my God. He said, never kicked a ball when he came on, Grealish. He said he just kept talking to him.
To his head.
And he told the press this. No, I thought it was quite funny, because this kind of
that's
stuff.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's funny.
But John McGinn had told him,
right,
listen, if you want to just put him off on his game, tell him how lovely he is. tell him he's great. Oh, I'd love to look like you. You look great and all that. Look at you.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. I don't think I could have done that.
No.
I could have just went, by the way, you're going to get it in a minute.
Yes. Yeah.
But Craig, they can never do it to you because you're not good looking, not good dressed.
Wow.
Wow.
Jan. Wow. Jan.
They were too scared to do it.
I know.
To be fair, the Norway defence were about to do it, but I was run past them.
Did you score?
Sorry?
Craig scored against us at the World Cup. It need to be said.
No, for those we've young, never heard young that list, before. Yeah. No,
young
that's
viewers.
The first time that's ever been mentioned.
Norway this is in 1952 in Brazil.
No, apparently no, Norway were number five in the world at the time as well. How the hell did that happen?
Oh, my God.
Number two, please. Right. Number two,
right.
Please.
Yep, enough for number two. Will there be any tension between the likes of... Oh, no, I've just done that. When a big transfer player joins the club, what's the general feeling? Happy to get a good player or envy to see someone getting paid more and getting all the attention? Both. You were at Chelsea when they were bringing proper quality players.
Yeah, but I think there is a realisation. I don't know if it's still the same. If you were a youngster coming through at a club, you generally always had more issues with your contracts than the big stars that were coming in.
Yes.
That's kind of how it worked back in the day. And so when Zola and Hullet and Viali and all those, there's more of them came in. I'm not going to say LeBouf. Look, I've said it. You knew you weren't... I was actually negotiating my contract at Chelsea when those guys came in.
Okay.
And I knew I was... I said to Chelsea, I said, look, they offered me a long-term deal just before I went to Celtic. And I said, look, I know I'm not going to get what these guys are getting. I understand that, but can we just go somewhere in the middle? No. all right, where's the flight to Glasgow?
No.
So that's kind of how it works.
But it's interesting, Dan, because that is interesting in the dressing room, because they said footballers are stupid, we're thick or everything. But there's somehow in the dressing room, there is an understanding. You don't do any fuss about it because you think that, okay, they've done their deal and then you have to look after your deal. And I had the same with Middlesbrough when Fabrizio Ravanelli came in and apparently was the best paid player in England. I had number 9. They were coming, Fabrizio Ravanelli. I went to Brian Robson and said, it's okay that he will take number 9. See you later. That's how it is. That's how it works. And I think in a football dressing room, you understand those kind of things. It's like the law of the jungle.
Unless you're Roy Keane.
Yeah.
Roy, I believe, and I'm not speaking out of turn, I might be Roy, somebody had, I think Roy did, had it in his contract.
Yeah, I did.
That
it did.
If a player came in and got a bumper wage rise, his had to go.
Right.
So he would be like, come on, bring them in.
Yeah.
Because his contract would automatically.
Yeah, Raul had that at Real Madrid as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
We tried to get it, Shaq and I, but...
Let me go on a free transfer.
Did you see the scenes today? Messi opened his Miami home to the fans to say hello. Have any of you...
He opened his what?
So he opened up the...
He's in Miami on holiday and you opened up the gate to let... Because fans were...
Two-bedroom condo?
One-bedroom studio.
Airbnb.
Struggling with the
HO. Airbnb. Yeah, no AC, nothing.
Homeowners Association struggling for...
It was really nice, actually. It was good to see. Him doing that for the
fans. Has he bought the house here?
No, he's just on holiday.
No, he's just checking out his retirement.
Well, he's definitely on the cards, isn't it?
Yep.
Any of you ever done anything crazy like that? Shaka, do you have people
like
camping outside your house at Trinidad?
Who would do that? Who would come outside my house? Everybody wants to come outside my house and see me.
I did that early in my career. I mean, I think you learn when you start. I got 3 kids, and with my first kid, I was standing with nearly naked with my son, newborn baby. Second once, I just let him in once in my house, the Norwegian press. And the third kid, nobody knows because I never did it. And I think that's a part of your learning curve, so to say, that you won't let him into your house, except you're Lionel Messi and you have 9 houses somewhere around the world. But
wow.
I don't think you do that anymore. I haven't seen
it.
Yeah, it changed a lot.
Phones. Social media.
Burglars.
This is a story that's developing around Gabby Heinze, who was sacked as coach of Atlanta United in MLS. What do you guys make of reports that Heinze's training with Atlanta denying them water and days off? Did you have any managers who used extreme tactics like that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, I never denied his water, but I've told you the story about Erling Johnson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pre-season training at Chelsea, Glenn Hoddle had brought a nutritionist in. This nutritionist had, after you've done a pre-season training session, after a few days, as the boys know, it's grueling. Mm. So you gotta really hydrate and eat properly. This was no salt, and the food was terrible anyway. So we're not allowed any salt, and we're not allowed any sparkling water.
Right.
You told us, know this story, didn't you? Brilliant. And for those people that don't know Erling Johnson, go and Google him, former Bayern Munich and Chelsea.
One of my best mates.
He's a big lad. And I mean big lad. Centre half. So he asked the waitress for sparkling water. And after about the fourth time, when she said, "I'm sorry, sir, but I've been told you're not allowed sparkling water, only still water," he went, hit the desk and went, "Just get it!" And she went like that. And Glenn Hoddle, who was denying everybody sparkling water, just sat like that. Because he went, he finally flipped. No salt, no this, no sauces for the food, and no sparkling water. Just get it! This poor girl who was like on minimum wage was crying.
Man. That's like Stevie Shedder's
fine. But that's when somebody finally snaps. Yeah. That's not good management. Yeah.
No, of course.
But I've had that.
Go ahead, Jan.
No, I'm just saying that with Felix Magath, he has the worst reputation of all coaches, I guess. He's doing that. He told us when we were injured. He was a doctor himself. if you said you were injured, he said, "No, you're not injured." Okay. And no water. He never told us when it was training. So if we trained 10:30, then he would say after the training, he will tell us maybe it's day off or maybe it was training, whatever. Never told us when we were holiday. And when he came to Fulham, I made a story for English paper. And I know Felix Magath after my career now. I've got a great relationship to him. So I made it kind of humorous in an English paper about him. And William Quist, who was at that time playing the Danish guy who was playing for Fulham, he came over to me and he said, "Jan, I thought you were joking. He's even worse." I mean, he was unbelievable. But he was successful. He won the championship for Wolfsburg. Double by Bayern Munich. But still, and if he was on, and if he listened to me now, I would still say he was mad.
Yeah,
you were going to
change. No, I was saying, growing up in Trinidad, that was a feeling that to get fit, deny yourself water during training.
Wow.
We're talking Trinidad and Tobago here. It is hot.
Yeah.
So that was a regular. And if you had water, you could only have a minimal amount.
But the that's
how you got your fitness.
And you were losing weight.
What's the Gabriel Heinze?
So Atlanta have been terrible this season, and stories now coming out that he denied them water during training.
To be doing that now is ridiculous.
So you weren't allowed to drink during training.
To be doing that now is dangerous. It's not just ridiculous. It's not just anti-committed.
Well, yeah, and that's on the other side, I don't remember sometimes they would even water out there for training.
Right.
I mean, if you've got a big, long training session.
Yeah.
It depends where you're training.
Yeah, again, you're talking Atlanta. Yeah. It's hot. It is hot.
Yeah.
I mean, but you remember, boys, the story about Dave Bassett, the goalkeeper of Wimbledon? Because sometimes I do that as well. I do that for a diet, that you're not drinking, because then you're losing nothing, of course. And he went into the sauna with a cycle, with a lot of clothes on, and he fainted, and I had to take him to the hospital. So they say footballers are not thick. We are then and again, aren't we?
Wow.
Gaza used to do that. Remember I told you this. Gaza used to do that at Rangers. Gaza was trying to lose weight and he used to go in the sauna.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he was caught coming out the sauna 2 hours before they were playing Juventus in the Champions League. And he didn't realise this was going to make him fatigued and tired.
Let's switch gears from Gaza and his sauna. Jan, what's the highest Jan has been in our country, Norway? Highest in terms of how far up north, not mountain high?
Oh, that is a good question, because we're not have a highest mountain, still higher than in the UK. The highest mountain I've been is Galdhøpiggen, 2,469 meters. But the furthest north, and you can have a look on the map, I've been in Svalbard, that's the island, that is beyond Santa Claus. We are nearly by North Pole.
Wow.
You know, yeah, so I played a game there, 2 times I've been there, and took some mates up and we played. Very cold, but funny. In the evening, just dark or only sun. There's nothing in between.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Bit like your head, mate. not much in between. Where's Kongsvinger?
Kongsvinger is middle. Also that is south. That is more or less south. Have you played there?
Yeah, no, we went there pre-season. Wrecked all the good bars. Watched the John Barnes.
Bar. There is only one.
You know, he came in one day and tasted all their drinks.
Who's that?
This is paranoia for you.
John Barnes?
Barnesy. Well, it wasn't Barnesy, but it was the entourage behind him that were saying, "You've got to watch those guys. They're out drinking during the day. We're on pre-season." And they walked in and we went to this bar, a few of us, during the day, basically to get away from them. And they came in and we were actually drinking Diet Cokes. As you know, I don't drink whiskies and vodka. I'll drink beer.
Yeah.
But they came in and they picked up a couple of the coaches, picked up the boys' Diet Cokes and tasted
it
to see if they had... vodka or something in them, and which they didn't. But that was before the season started. That didn't set a very good tone.
No, I bet.
Which told us already that the hierarchy were saying to them, there's a few bad apples
right.
in this group, from which I was one. But I wasn't a bad apple. It was the fact there was a bit of a drinking culture at the time at that club.
Yes.
And most of the clubs.
Ask Craig, did he play against Ollie and how good was Ollie as a player?
Ollie, well, actually, when I scored that goal in the World Cup.
Oh, God.
Against who?
Against Norway. Guess where he was? Guess where he was?
Probably on the bench.
On the bench again. So he had a very good view of it, I would imagine.
Wow. You
know, imagine now when Ollie comes back with Sancho, with Varane. Craig, this was going to be a tough season for you.
Oh, we're going to talk about it on the show, actually, a little bit later.
It's not really, because if we don't win the league, it'll be an easy season. But listen.
Yeah.
No, the answer is yes, but he did terrific. I mean, great striker. Yeah. But I actually took a look. He was on the... I don't know why he was on the bench for Norway at that point.
No, but he never... We know where we played with 4-5-1, so the number 9 was more the likes of Jon Karev, Stefan Ivers and myself, big strikers.
Yeah, big
so Ollie was always put on the left side or right side. So he scored enough goals for Norway as well, but he didn't do it as much as in Manchester United because the system was wrong for him.
Jan, do you think Marlon should go to Dortmund or Liverpool this summer?
I don't think you have the pick. I saw Sork was very unhappy with the price. He said 30 and he thought that was too much. I think Dortmund are desperate to get him because they will try to offload maybe one or two players more, Brandt or whatever, and lost Sancho, of course. So I will see that Liverpool is an alternative for him. I think that maybe then he will love to play in the Premier League. But let's see if Liverpool is the alternative or Dortmund the only one.
Shaka, what does the game really need to do to avoid players rolling around on the field?
I don't know. I don't know how you stop that. I think referees have to call fouls as they see them.
Yeah.
And don't kind of leave some of that, some of the responsibility to players to sell it. And then, other than that...
You can't prove... It's difficult to prove somebody faking.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Players are going to do that, you know, just kind of play.
And this extra
time. Even when they get fouled, play it up.
This is most of this, if not all of it, probably all of it's going to be left in the cutting room floor.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's
garbage,
been better than the show.
Garbage.
Craig, where do you rank Jorginho among
the laughing at? I've been honest. We're waffling on here, wasting time.
Wasting time for what? Well, what are you in a rush to do? Do you have Sports Center Asia today?
Actually, I do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, I'm really up for it as well.
Got to tell people his Norway story.
Really
his goal against
it.
Norway.
Craig, where do you rank Jorginho among the contenders for the Ballon d'Or, given your great passion for the topic?
Yeah.
That's just a noise.
To be honest, I'd give it to you this year for your...
Thank you very much.
Your upstanding... dress sense and your purchase power.
Wow.
I think that Jorginho thing is a bit overdone because I think Jorginho is a good player, but it's all about him winning the two things, which is fantastic. But I can't see Jorginho winning the Ballon d'Or. I can't see that happening. He's not that good.
No, exactly. And I think there must have been a tinge of sarcasm in the question as well.
No, unfortunately not today. He is one of the contenders.
Is he? No, yeah. I must have missed that list.
Final question of this very long extra time.
Too long.
After this weekend's results for TNT, what are your expectations in going forward, or do they remain the same, Shaka? Also, is Jamaica your dark horse for the Gold Cup?
Italy.
I don't think Italy are in it.
I'd be delighted if Jamaica go on and win it.
Oh.
Jamaica go on and win it, they're going to have to... Look, we need to shut this competition down.
Why?
Well, in fact, they need to shut it down anyway.
Qatar, what about Qatar?
What's been some of the results recently? How have the US been getting on?
US have been winning. They beat Canada 1-0 yesterday.
Yes.
Seb and Herc will be on the show.
Shaq Moore scored. His dad, I played with his dad.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wendell from Trinidad and Tobago.
Seb and Herc are going to be on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Breaking it down.
Yes, exactly.
I'll send you the link,
just
Greg.
For you. Greg can listen to it.
No, well, what happens when these scenarios, they normally record that at a point of the day when I'm not here.
Well.
For fear of me shouting at them.
Greg, you are a bad apple. You are a bad apple.
I am a bad apple, Jan.
That is it. We are done.
Very bad apple.
Thank you very much to everyone.
No wonder people's
who has been on. We'll be back. Will you bet you back tomorrow, Craig?
No, I'm not actually.
No.
Neither am I, Dan.
Neither am I. Who knows who's going to be here?
3 day a week.
Yeah, I'll be here.
You'll be here.
I'm coming.
Pinstripe suit.
Yeah, I'll be here.